The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to my old high school teammate, Stephen Fahey. I'm sure you guys are familiar with him if you watch my YouTube videos. He's pretty legendary. He ran at Stanford, and now he is going to run professionally. So stay tuned for this episode. All right, Stephen, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit, give the fellas a little rundown of who you are?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Emma. I'm Stephen Fahey. I was teammates with Emma at La Costa Canyon High School, and I ran cross country and track at Stanford University, graduated about a year ago, and I now live and train in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just kind of chasing the running dream and living it up. Yeah.
It's been a while since even you and I have talked. So you graduated from Stanford. You ended up taking a 6-year though.
Just for cross country.
Oh, just cross country. Can you tell us a little bit about why you stayed a 6-year? Cause that's a little bit unheard of in the running world.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more heard of now with all the eligibility that people are getting back after the canceled COVID season. But before that, it was definitely less of a common thing. And it wasn't really something that I thought was even a possibility up until maybe May of my 5th year. I knew all along that I wanted to take a 5th year, and we'd planned for that pretty much from the beginning of my time at Stanford. But I had an extra season of cross country because I missed out on the 2018 cross country season, which I was really bummed about because I felt pretty good about our chances as a team going into that season and my chances individually of running well for us. And so it was tough to miss out on that season, but we just kind of looked past it and tried to get back in shape for the track season in 2019. And that season was going really well. And around March or so, Coach Miltenberg at Stanford came up to me and brought up the idea to me. And I almost didn't really think it was possible. In part because I didn't think that I would get the eligibility back, but also because I wasn't going to be in school anymore. I actually wasn't even in school at that time. I was already done with all my classes and everything. So I was surprised that that was even a prospect, but we looked around and kind of scrambled to try to find a program that I could apply to very last minute. And thankfully I was able to get in one and was able to get that eligibility approved for the fall, which was cool. And it was a big decision to make because I kind of had to decide where I wanted to go with my running career and everything too, and whether I wanted to. I knew that I wanted to pursue professional running, but I wanted to kind of put that on hold for a little bit to kind of chase that one last cross country season in the fall. And so made that call in probably like June, July is like when all that stuff got finalized, and then really quickly kind of turned around to have one more extra little season at Stanford. So it was fun. It's definitely not something I ever foresaw happening, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, that's good to hear. It's just crazy because I feel like I graduated so long ago and you like just graduated from the NCAA, which is kind of crazy to
think
about. We're the same high school graduating class.
No, I know. I kind of loved it. I feel like I was the old man on the team, and like I was teammates with my little sister, who I've like never even overlapped with in school ever.
Yeah.
And she's always been like my baby sister. And so it was super weird, like being on the team with her and everything. And yeah, I mean, it was really funny, like talking to freshmen and being like, oh yeah, when I started college in 2014, you were in like seventh grade. And all these people that were born in the 2000s, it was weird, man. But yeah, I just kind of like learned to laugh about it, and just like, it was just kind of funny how long I'd spent at Stanford. And I definitely knew I was ready to leave by the time that cross country season finished, because I'd been there for a while. But I was glad I came back, and it was a cool experience.
Yeah, I mean, by that time, all your teammates that you had been with for the last 4 years are gone. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like a whole new team. Yeah, you really are the old man on the team. But that's crazy that you overlap with Kristen. I kind of forgot about that. Because in my mind, she's so young, because she was never on the high school team with us or anything.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you and I were in the same class from like 2010 to 2014 at LCC. And I feel like we left, and then there was a whole another era on that high school team before she even really came in.
I know.
Like, I feel like by the time she was around, I didn't even really know who anybody else in high school even was anymore. And like following her like high school career just like seemed like a completely different team than the one we were on. So it was super bizarre that we ended up being on the same team for a little bit and traveling to some meets together. But that was just kind of like another little added perk for the parents, for sure, to get behind the idea of staying in college for longer and putting off my professional life, whatever that was going to be. So they were pretty excited about it, and it was cool. But yeah, it was definitely a weird experience being on the team with people that were 5-6 years younger than you.
Yeah, what was it like being on the team with your sister? Was there any like fighting that went on or anything, or was it more like you were showing her the ropes?
No, not really. I definitely played instructive big brother a little too much. I think I tried like to really prepare her for all the different things that she was going to come into, and like she's like totally just like a chill person who's just like, oh, I'm just gonna kind of play it by ear and let things happen as they're going to. And like she totally just kind of wanted to like go with the flow and everything. And you know, here I'm like trying to like show her how all this stuff works and like getting on her about doing things, you know, like a certain way that I've been trained to do over the course of the last 5 years of my life. And so like I feel like I was the one that was like playing parent sometimes, but she like handled her freshman year so well, especially with the coaching change and everything, coming in with coaches that she hadn't even been recruited by. And I think that, you know, I, having been in that place for 5 years, was very stuck in my ways about the way I wanted certain things and the way I saw you know, how things should be. And I think she was just like way more open as somebody coming in to just kind of like kind of just going with it, and I admire that. And that's pretty much the opposite of how I was coming in as a freshman. So it was cool to see, but no fighting. Definitely you know, watching out, making sure no boys are getting too close or anything like that. But other than that, yeah, I mean, you know, we kind of had our separate things because we had separate coaches that we were working with on a day-to-day basis. So a little bit of like separation between the guys' distance group and the girls' distance group because of that. But both groups were still close. And so, you know, we obviously got a lot of time together, which was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Your parents must have loved that, a little 2-for-1 deal in college.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We both got to go out to Terre Haute for NCAAs. And so even though both of us didn't race, it was still kind of cool to at least have the whole family come watch this one.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of speaking on that, you have a very talented family. And I mean, I feel like your family and my family, we kind of grew up together in the running world. There was a lot of overlapping, whether that be teams or just like going to races, seeing, oh, there's the Fahey's all racing. Because your older brother, Darren, also was a very competitive runner. What was it like growing up with like such a talented family?
I know. Talk about talented families. Jeez. I mean, like, you, when was the first time that we were at a race together? Like, 2003 or 2004? When did you start with Roadrunners?
I think Roadrunners wasn't until like 2006, I think, for me. But then like the Junior Carlshead stuff was happening a lot before that.
Yeah, so I feel like we were at least aware of who each other was as early as like 2005 or 2006 or something like that. And I feel like we've just been around running for such a long time because of that. It's always kind of been a family thing. But yeah, no, I mean, like, my older brother Darren was he was 2 years older than me, and I kind of followed in his footsteps with everything. If he played baseball when we were young, I was going to play baseball. If he played soccer, it meant I was going to play soccer. And when he got into running, he was kind of the one who laid the groundwork, but he was also way better than me at each age. And I mean, you talk about the Junior Carlsbad. So both of our families did that, like, you know, local mile race every year. And he pretty much set the record for like every age group up the ladder. And then 2 years later, I would always get to compare myself to him and be like, oh man, he ran what when he was 10? So I kind of always had him to compare myself to, which was cool in that I was, you know, really competitive, but also wasn't always a great thing for me as a developing runner, because it was hard for me to have that patience to be like, all right, like, it'll come as long as you just like have fun with it and enjoy it. I feel like I was kind of always like, oh man, like, well, Darren was this good at this age, so like, I've got to do that. And you know, I mean, I think it was really cool being teammates with him in high school, and we had some good teams at LCC that were, you know, built around us and a couple other guys that, you know, were good friends with both of us. But yeah, it was definitely an important part of my development, especially early in high school, to kind of learn how to cope with being my own runner and not always just kind of comparing myself to him or trying to follow directly in his footsteps. And I feel like I actually kind of found more success at the end of high school when he was gone, and I kind of was able to let go of that a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah. We developed at different rates and stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, like, I think that the more that I could just like be my own person and kind of be like, all right, like, I'm just going to do my own thing, and it doesn't matter if I'm not doing all the stuff that he did, like, the more I was able to kind of just like enjoy running for other purposes, I guess, and just distract myself from it.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I feel like, honestly, watching your career over time, I feel like you have to be one of the most improved runners I've ever seen. Not that you were ever not like good at running, but just watching you from when we were racing in middle school together to like you winning NCAAs, I don't know, it's just been a really cool progression to see. And when you come from a family that's so good, it can be hard, like you said, to like compare when you're comparing yourself to your older brother who was setting records. So I feel like you've just done a really good job mentally being able to progress at your own rate, and it's like really proven in college. So what do you think is the key to longevity in running for you?
Well, first of all, I'm flattered, thank you. it's definitely been a lot of peaks and valleys, not only just like in high school and in college obviously, but like even when I was like way younger and I didn't even really know what I was doing with running, I felt like, you know, as you can probably relate to, sometimes you kind of feel like you're just being dragged out to these meets because your family is just like a running family.
And exactly.
So like my brother, I feel like, was always like the stud at every age, and like he was just such a natural competitor that like he was gonna win like no matter where he went. But I had to like really learn, I think, how to kind of like channel my competitiveness and kind of like refine, you know, the craft of like racing and competing the right way. And I think I had to relearn that so many times. I mean, I think that like, you know, when I started running, I wasn't really that good, like, you know, going to nationals. Even when I was like a little kid, I definitely remember getting like 100 something the year that my brother won and being like, oh wow, came all the way to Chicago. And like, I think I just got beat by 100 people in this race. Like, wow. But then I would always have these like little breakthroughs. And then, you know, same thing like in high school, like I, you know, definitely got like destroyed my freshman year of high school, and, you know, and then had to kind of figure out how to like navigate my way through it. And I think like one of the things that helped me with that was just like making it be about being part of a team. And I think I was lucky that I came into our high school team and had the fact that like I was our fourth or fifth runner to kind of distract me from any pressure that I put on myself. And like, I think that that helped me to improve a lot, just like the excitement that came with trying to just like be a part of something bigger than yourself and like go score. And I mean, you know, as you probably remember, like we had some teams that at La Costa Canyon were fighting for section championships and state championships and stuff like that. And so, you know, being able to just like kind of try to be a part of that was, I would say, a big part of that. And then the other thing is just, you know, like in college, especially, you know, coming into Stanford, where my first year or 2 years even, I was probably one of the slower guys on the team, like coming in with a lot of other guys that were really good. And as you probably saw, I mean, you know, we were in the Pac-12 together for a couple of years. Like,
yeah,
you know, kind of just getting destroyed out there in some races, and like kind of
destroyed. I don't remember getting destroyed.
I think my sophomore year, which would have been like redshirt freshman year, first year of racing in the jersey at Stanford, I think I was 200 something at Wisco, somewhere in the 200s. Oh. I couldn't even believe that I could would ever finish that far back in a race. But and then I think like 66th at Pac-12s, which it's like an 80-man field, so that's not that good. But I just got a lot of experience with that. Without my coach or my teammates giving up on me, and like they, you know, always knew that I was going to be a guy that could contribute, and if I could just focus on being the best teammate that I could, and just trying to be solid every day instead of having to put a lot of pressure on myself to like go do anything special, that was kind of what got me over the hump mentally, as you were saying, to try to figure out how to do this, and you know, how to like be able to just like consistently compete as well as I could on the day, instead of having to try to fulfill some expectation that I had for myself or that my family might have for me or, you know, whatever. And so then over time, I feel like I just kind of chipped away at it by just trying to have tunnel vision a little bit. And, you know, before I knew it, I was running at a level that I never had before. And as long as I could let that not scare me and just continue to be excited about that and just, you know, focus on, you know, my team and my coach and what we were doing and not anything else. Like, I think I just kind of like slowly saw myself get better and better and just like have more fun than I was ever having with the sport before by the end of college. So, I mean, I think that the way I did it is the most fun way to do it. And
I think it
certainly makes for a fun like story, but at the same time, also like, I think I learned a lot that I could teach, you know, some of my younger teammates about like development and like the way that we tried to develop runners at Stanford in our program, which was cool.
Yeah. I think the biggest improvement I saw from you, I mean, I guess I don't remember you getting 200th at Wisco or anything. I don't know. But then I remember, was it my senior year? I don't know. There was one year at Pac-12. I think it was my senior year, 2017, where I saw you coming into the, like, you were in the front pack, which I was like, oh, Steven's in the front pack. Like, no surprise there. But I think you ended up getting like third or fourth. What did you get at that cross country Pac-12s in Springfield?
That was the one you guys hosted.
Yeah.
Third. I was third that year. Alex and I finished like right next to each other, 3-4.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was Joe Kleck or two. I don't know. Someone like you were competing against someone going into the finish shoot. And I've never been so excited in my life to see you do so well. And I feel like that was the first time for me to see you like really running with the big dogs, I guess. And it was very, I admired it a lot because I feel like to step up to that level, it takes a lot of guts and like not bravery, I don't know, but it's just like a whole new level of competing. Like the NCAA Division I is already so hard, but then when you step up to like put yourself in the position to get third at Pac-12s in cross country, it's just a whole new level of racing. So I feel like that's when I first saw you really like grow into the runner that you are today and eventually like going to win an NCAA title. So I don't know when your like first breakout moment was, but do you have one that sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people see that race as like kind of somewhat of a quote-unquote breakthrough for me because I hadn't really placed that highly in any race in cross country or track before that. But I think that like the big thing that we always tried to drive home with our team at Stanford was that like breakthroughs aren't really a thing if you're like following our process the right way. And that like really my coach and my teammates saw me as somebody who was capable of doing something like that already. And it kind of came from just like a lot of years of like slowly accumulating training and getting fit. And I think that we like knew coming into that season that I was going to be capable of doing something like that, as long as I could trust that like I was capable of it. And, you know, I think that like that, you know, the track season before that, I had gotten into super good shape and was ready to go really do something big during the indoor and outdoor season in 2017 before getting hurt. And so I think that like that kind of delayed what was going to be the quote unquote breakthrough. But then I, you know, got healthy that summer and, you know, got prepared for like a really good cross season during my senior year. And then, yeah, like the first couple of the races of the season, I feel like I definitely like didn't place that high up, but I think that my coaches knew where we were headed and where I could be once I got into really good shape. And I mean, I think, you know, we saw and knew what the numbers meant in practice and everything. And like, you know, I think that my coach always knew from a long way out that I could be up there. But I think that like the big thing really for me, like, wasn't having like some physical breakthrough where all of a sudden I just got really good in a couple of weeks. It was more of just like, you know, like every athlete has, you know, that kind of mental breakthrough of just knowing like that you belong there and letting yourself, you know, kind of take that risk and go, you know, not get in your own way, I guess. 100%. And so, yeah. And I think that, you know, having a scenario like a Pac-12 championship where I'm running with my teammates and, you know, just trying to do the best that I can to help us win is like a great way to break through that kind of thing. And in that particular instance, I think we were competing with Colorado to try to win our first Pac-12 championship since the formation of the Pac-12, because Colorado had won every year since it changed from the Pac-10 to the Pac-12. And so we finally got it done that year. And like, you know, the 1-3-4 finish with me, Grant, and Alex definitely like helped that get that started. You know, obviously we couldn't have done it without our 4 and 5 guy running super well that day too, because it was a really tight race. But I mean, yeah, I feel like that race, I at no point was thinking I was going to get third. I was just thinking like, all right, like just try to stay relaxed and, you know, execute my race plan as we've talked about, and just like try to build the whole time. And, you know, all of a sudden the front group whittled down from like, I think like 8 guys to 6 guys to all of a sudden we've got like, you know, 4 or 5 dudes running for it at the end. And I was just like, all right, like got to get as many points as I can, like, you know, get in front of as many dudes as I can. And I don't think I realized in the moment like what that was going to be. But at the same time, once I did have that, it like gave me the confidence to go deliver, you know, in the next few weeks of the cross country season. And, you know, when you string together a couple of good performances, you start to realize like, all right, like I'm definitely capable of, you know, doing this every time. And you kind of figure out what you need to do mentally, you know, both in the races and in preparing for the races to like, you know, give yourself the confidence that you need to go execute. And like, I think I just needed, you know, a couple of like good performances to remind me, you know, that I was capable of that. But I think my coaches would tell you like that they knew from way out that I was going to be there. So you know, I think from an outside perspective there, you know, you can mark certain points that are like breakthrough moments, but like I felt like I kind of had that coming on throughout pretty much my whole like junior and senior year. So it was cool to get those results.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it kind of it takes a couple races to where it becomes your new normal, like where you're competing at the front, I feel like. And that's what I feel like it kind of started. I mean, you said that your coaches kind of saw it coming, but I feel like Pac-12 is where it established your new normal that you're going to be one of like the top NCAA runners. And it's not like you're going to go back to being, I don't know, 200th at Wisconsin. Once you have those races, it kind of gives you the confidence to tell yourself that like that's where you belong in the front pack, if you know what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So talking about a new normal, it takes a lot to put yourself in the front of a race at an NCAA championship. And you ended up winning the 2019 NCAA championship in the steeplechase. Did you see that coming?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like one of the things that I was the most proud of that season wasn't even really whatever I was able to run like time wise. Like I really didn't run that fast like any really fast times in the steeplechase during that season. I just kind of did what I needed to do to, you know, win all the races leading up to NCAAs. But I mean, like, you know, I had a good 5K earlier on that year that like gave me a lot of confidence, but even that I don't think was the thing I was the most proud of from that year. I think that what I was the most proud of was that I was able to show up at that race at Nationals on the biggest stage
100%.
And be 100% confident that it was my race to win and that it was something that I was capable of and that I belonged there. Because I mean, I think like you were saying, like there's a new normal, you know, once you get to a certain point where it's like, I can put myself up at the front of the race, but then there's this other level, I feel like, of convincing yourself exactly. to win. I mean, like winning a race, it really is something that is like a learned skill beyond just the, you know, the physical having whatever it takes to win. Like, I think you also have to make a decision and a choice. And, you know, of course it's a decision that's ultimately made in the race, but really it's a kind of something that's made before, like showing
it's
up
a mindset. On the
line. And yeah, exactly. Being like, I like truly believe that I can win this race, and I'm going to, you know, you have to win the race in your head 100 times before you can win it once in real life. And you have to, like, if you don't believe that you're going to win a race beforehand, you're never going to do it. Like, nobody wins a race by accident. So,
yeah, exactly. You at least have to have some sort of belief that you can win the race.
Yeah. And I mean, and so the big moment for me actually was the NCAAs the year before in 2018 in Eugene, where, I came in great shape. I had been having a great season. I had run pretty fast at regionals, even though I came in with a little cue. But like, I still knew that I was, I was in the best shape I'd ever been, and I was rolling. And I was, you know, my coaches and I were saying the whole time, like, oh, like, you know, you can win NCAAs. Like, this race is wide open. Like, there's some good runners from, you know, some other teams that are going to be coming in for it. But like, there was no like clear, you know, front runner who was like expected to take it. There were like a few guys like Obsa Ali and Brian Barraza who were really good runners. But like, I think coming in, you know, to the final, there were easily 9 or 10 guys that could lay a claim for being able to win. And so I think that like, I always told myself like I could win. But you know, really that decision to win is something that you can't just, you know, say. You have to like really believe it. And I think that,
yeah,
I kind of came in just to that final just being like, all right, like, you know, it was actually my first time at an NCAA outdoors too. And so I think I just kind of came in being like, you know what, like, I'm not going to like put any crazy expectations on myself. Like, I'm just going to go try to execute the same way that I have all year and see what happens. And then, you know, as it turns out, then Brian Barraza goes down with 300 to go or whatever, you know, falling over that hurdle. And all of a sudden, you know, me and the two guys that I'm with, like, we, you know, we're all of a sudden at the front of the race, and it's like, oh shoot, like this is like kind of the moment where one of us is going to have to go take this and win it. And I think that, you know, despite all the confidence that I gained that year, I think that that moment was just a little too big for me. And even just a little hesitation there, you know, let Obsa get just enough ground to go win. And then, you know, I ended up getting third. And at the time I was, you know, I was really happy to be third and to run a personal best that is still actually my personal best. I mean, you know, I think back a lot to that race. And I think that like something that you have to do in this sport is be able to reflect honestly with yourself about the decisions that you make and, you know, what's going on in your head and what you're afraid of. And, you know, I think that I just, while I think I ran a great race up until that point, I just don't really think I did a great job at seizing that moment because I couldn't truly like get myself to believe ahead of time that I was going to win. I only got as far as I could win. And that was the biggest lesson that I learned, you know, coming into the next year where it's like, when I show up on that starting line, like I have to be like, no, like this thing is mine. And like, I know I can win this. And like, I think ultimately the thing I was the most proud of from my entire season in 2019 was just being able to be there with a lap to go and like, know with every, like, you know, with every ounce of my mind, like, I'm going to win this thing. And like, that was, I think like that was the biggest victory. If you were to talk to my coaches who had watched me develop all the way throughout college from like a pretty scared freshman and sophomore who like, you know, couldn't really overcome his own little demons to, you know, being a fifth year racing for a national championship, like having that mental breakthrough is like, was a way bigger thing for me than any, you know, like physical jump that I made throughout college. And so like, It was big to be able to get that. And I think that like that's ultimately what helped me overcome the events that were to come in the final 200 meters of that race.
Yeah. And I think honestly, like the mental progression is a lot harder than the physical progression in college, because the physical, all you need to do really is show up every single day, do the work, and then go home, eat right, and sleep. And if you follow that, like, you're going to get better. But I think, like you said, it's hard to like will yourself to be able to compete at that next level. And like you said, it took years for you to be able to believe that you can even win. And it's easy to like tell yourself that, oh, I think I can win this race, but it's hard to get yourself to actually believe it and put it into action. Like you said, during that 2018 race, like, I don't know, the Obsa Ali, did he win?
Yeah, so Obsa won in 2018 for Minnesota, yeah.
So the difference between you guys that day probably wasn't fitness, because you guys were both extremely fit, but he probably had told himself, and believe that he was going to win and he had the chance to win, while you said, oh, I could win. I feel like that is, at the end of the day, it's a lot of mental, I don't know, mental stamina, I guess, that kind of distinguishes the best runners from the really, really good ones at that level.
Well, and it's just like, it's a level of honesty with yourself that's really hard to have, even if you really love running and training. And I feel like there's a lot of guys that love to run and that are really good at getting fit and, you know, maybe like competing, like they like putting on the jersey and they like getting out there and going for it, but they are not willing to really be honest with themselves about what they're afraid of and what's getting in their way from being better. And it's a hard thing to do. And like, you know, during some of those races after, you know, my freshman or sophomore year, when I was pretty beat down and like, you already feel bad from having a bad race, but on top of that, like, you know, you're in your coach's office later or you're, you know, on your own afterwards. And you really have to like look into yourself, and you can either decide to just brush it off and ignore it and be like, ah, you know, it's fine, I'll get them next time. Or like,
yeah, or give an excuse. Yeah, or
yeah, exactly. Or give an excuse, or give like a halfway honest thing where it's like, oh, I made a tactical error, or like, oh, you know, I just wasn't tough enough on the day or something like that. But like, it's really hard. And sometimes like, you know, kind of, I don't know, a little bit of like a rude awakening to have that honest conversation with yourself. And it's really something you can only have with yourself about like, all right, like, what am I really afraid of? Like, what is really holding me back? And like, how do I actually practice this? And a lot of times, like, what it means is like, you're going to have to kind of figure out what some of these like demons that you have are, whatever they might be, that are, you know, kind of limiting you in your race or before you even toe the line or whatever it might be. And, you know, sometimes it means like then in some workouts, you have to do some visualization and put yourself in some places that you're really uncomfortable with. And if you avoid that stuff, you're just never going to be able to address it. And you're going to keep having the same pitfalls over and over again. But it's just like amazing what I feel like I was able to discover about myself just from having some honest reflection and like, you know, have that little bit of, you know, time to be like, all right, like, I actually want to try to fix myself and like really look into myself. And then, you know, it was cool to see like what you could unlock when you could just be totally honest with yourself and say like, yeah, like, I'm afraid of, you know, getting into this moment. And like, this is why. And I think that knowing that like, I really needed to be there for my team in cross country and, you know, be able to deliver for us when, you know, push came to shove and, you know, a sudden lapse at NCAA cross country nationals can lose you like 30 spots in the last 100 meters. Like, I knew, I was like, I need to figure out how to make myself finish cross country races and get all the way through the line, passing dudes and like staying within myself. And I really like had trouble with that during my first couple years. And I think that the pressure I put on myself to figure my stuff out so that I could like deliver for us is like what really got me to have some of those honest conversations, along with working with a sports psych in Coach Pat Henner, who I think like helped me a lot to just kind of recognize like how to deal with some of these things and how to have those conversations. Cause it's not something that's obvious for a lot of people who don't really think about it. And yeah. I think a lot of people think that sports psychs are just for people that have anxiety or have some kind of like, you know, diagnosable, you know, like mental issue or something like that. But like, I really think that it's just something that like can elevate your game, and you can be a good runner and still have these honest conversations with yourself that can make you just a much better runner and competitor. And so, I mean, I was lucky to have him as a resource and to have Coach Miltenberg be a guy who thought a lot about this kind of stuff too and helped me work through it. But I mean, yeah, I just think like there's a lot that you can unlock without actually doing any real running at all that can just make you so much
mental,
better.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, and it's cool. And it's not necessarily, I think a lot of people think that if somebody has mental problems, it's because like they're a quote unquote head case or something like that. Or it's just like they give up in races, or they just like, they don't want to try, or they're like a wuss or something like that. But I think there's a lot of dudes that you see that seem like they run really hard and are like reaching their like quote unquote limits or whatever. But really it's just like, they're not able to figure out how to like maintain control and just kind of like be completely in control of their own like effort level and intensity throughout the course of a race. And being able to like manage your intensity and calm yourself down in the moments where it gets really hard or where you get the most uncomfortable, and being able to have certain affirmations to tell yourself that you know are going to get you through it, and being able to rehearse those kinds of things through visualization and in workouts and things like that, even when a workout doesn't feel as hard as a race, the better you can get at figuring out how to put yourself in those places and practice those kinds of things, like the better you can be. And like, there's just like an unlimited amount of stuff that you can unlock from that, and it's just cool to figure out how much better you can get through that kind of stuff. You know, obviously everybody does the training, but there's a lot of extra stuff that you can do, even if you don't consider yourself as like a head case or something like that.
Exactly. And I would never consider myself a head case. Like, I was never one to get super nervous or like psych myself out or give up during races. But I feel like, just like you said, like there's just so much that you can do in your own head that I even discovered in college that like took me to new levels of running that I didn't even think were possible. Just by like believing in yourself and getting over like the things that are holding you back that you didn't even necessarily know that were holding you back. Like in high school, I think for me, I thought like breaking 450 was like the biggest barrier ever. And then once I did it, it was like, it was great and all, but then I realized how much like new potential I had just by like setting new limits for myself. Because once I broke 450, then 440 became the new goal. And I don't know, it was a lot of mental training I did for myself in college. And yes, the physical training was hard, but I feel like by kind of changing my new normal for what, I don't know, what was expected of me, even in my own head, it just kind of took me to new levels of running. And it's weird because I feel like in high school, I don't know about you, but like I never really thought about like the inner workings of my head in a race. Like I just went out there on the day, like tried as hard as I could, and then the race was over, and then I move on to the next one. But I feel like in college is really where I learned that like how powerful your head can be and how much you need to like understand yourself and train your brain to be able to run at the level that is top level Division I running.
Yeah. Well, and in high school, there's just a lot more room for error, honestly. Like in a lot of high school races, I feel like I would be winning, and it really, you know, I could completely fall apart and still win, or completely and get sixth, and maybe I'd be hard on myself. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I would get pat on the back and be like, oh, you ran so hard, you gave it your all or whatever, you know, and like, I, you know, could believe that. I'd be like, yeah, I did. I ran really hard. I'm really tired now, or, you know, or like, and then like also being in California, you know, obviously the two of us, we were running against such good runners all along that we could kind of hide behind people a little bit. Like some of my best races, I got like eighth at Arcadia or something like that.
100%.
And, you know, or like all of my personal bests from high school were not in wins. They were in
100%
races where I just ran behind somebody and ran a fast time. And then afterwards, again, got a bunch of pat on the backs being like, wow, you did so well. That's such a fast time. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's great. But like, I just think it's so cool that like my perspective changed so much from, you know, being around a lot of my college teammates and coaches to where like, now, even on the professional level, I feel like I just like look at competing and actually like, you know, being in it for the right reasons and showing up on a starting line expecting to win no matter who you're racing against. You know, I just feel like I have such a different approach to it than I did when I was in high school, and like I just wanted to run fast and, you know, maybe help our team win. And I mean, yeah, I think that comes with just like being around a lot of the right people and, you know, being able to learn from some of them.
Yeah. And I feel like it was just a lot easier to win in high school. I don't know. There were just a lot more races. The races were a lot more local. So winning for you and I was like pretty normal. I don't know. It was just kind of expected, not to be like in a cocky way, but it was just kind of to be expected. And then you go to college and that kind of all gets taken away from you because then all of a sudden you're getting 200th at Wisconsin. You're like, or even if like I would get 100th in a cross country race, like at pre-Nats my freshman year. And I would be like, oh, that was like, okay, I don't know. And then you just kind of have to overcome that hurdle again. But it's a lot harder to be able to like be winning these NCAA races. And especially for you now, like the professional races, it's very hard to win a professional race. It's not like high school at all.
Yeah, I know. Well, those middle school miles over at Carmel Valley High School, those were never easy to win. They I know that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably watch Emma's videos and you've probably watched that video.
So I'm sure they have, because that video has like 500,000 views for some reason. I think it's still my most viewed video ever.
It is. What a cringe. Yeah.
But cringe for you. I feel like I looked pretty legit in it.
You looked pretty good. Yeah, you really almost had me there in the last like 600. I had to really put the jets on, looking flawless down the home stretch.
Your form too. It was just so funny because your jersey was falling off your shoulder. Your head was going back and forth.
And like my feet just like weren't the right size for my body. And I didn't understand how to use my arms. Yeah.
It was so much looking back too.
Yeah.
I remember that fairly well. And your mom would be like, oh my gosh, Steven hates racing you. I just remember her always telling me that.
Yeah. You gotta love just like the honest, you know, spirit of competition that comes with the being in middle school and just showing up to a race not wanting to get beat by the girl. There was no fun about it. I just sat the whole day in class in middle school being like, man, I hope I don't get beat by Emma today.
That's so funny just to look back on. Yeah, my goodness.
Oh, man, and you just breathe a sigh of relief after you cross the line and you're like, all right, thank goodness. That one was close. Nothing like those middle school days.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just search on YouTube commentating my middle school race and I think it'll come up. Or just honestly type in Stephen Fahey and it'll probably come up too.
Oh man, yeah, you'll find some great stuff if you just look up my name on YouTube.
There's also a fun video of Stephen. I don't know if you're in elementary school or middle school, but it always comes up when I go back and watch that middle school race. But there's like someone did some interview with Steven and he was, I had to be like 12 years old or like even younger. You were so young and it was like on Steven's running when he was young. Oh, so
it's
funny.
It's pretty inspirational stuff. Yeah. You guys, in case you're looking to get inspired or it's the night before a big race and you want some big time running motivation. Yeah. You can watch that video of, prepubescent me and get hyped up. Some great stuff out there on the internet that will never go away. So
you gotta love YouTube.
Oh, gotta love it.
Okay. Well, now moving on from college. Now you said you're training in North Carolina. You're with your old Stanford coach, Coach Milton Berg, right?
Yes.
So what made you make the move out there? That's far away, Stephen, from California.
It's far from California. I have lived in California all my life, coming from North County, San Diego, for high school to Stanford for college. So if you would have told me a year ago that I would be living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, running without a contract and and knowing it was the exact right place for me to be, I would have said you're crazy. But so I kind of like forewent trying to look at professional options last summer so that I could come back and do the 6 year at Stanford. And I definitely think it was the right decision for me, just because even though, you know, there may have been some opportunities at that time over the summer to, you know, go sign a deal and start training with a pro group and, you know, get ready for the trials that we expected to happen in 2020 at the time. I think like my philosophy is always just like do whatever gets you the most excited to get out of bed and run every morning. And like for me, the thought of being at Stanford and competing for a national championship in cross country and, you know, being with the boys for one last season was like the most exciting thing that I could think of. And like was, I thought, the best way for me to just like get better by virtue of being so excited about what I was doing and having so much enthusiasm every day with the training that went into it. And so I did it and I went back for that 6th year. And so, you know, even though things didn't go the way that, you know, we had dreamed up maybe, I still have no regrets for going back and doing that. But part of it was, you know, when you finish cross country in November, you know, then you kind of got to start looking into trying to figure out, you know, what the next option, you know, option is for professional running. And you know, so there were a couple of different groups that I was considering, you know, going to. And I have been working with an agent, Tom Ratcliffe, and Alistair Craig with Kimbia, and they've been like awesome resources for me as I've like navigated this and everything. And like we had like a couple of different options that we were looking into. But in the meantime, I just went out to Chapel Hill, like right after Christmas, to start training with Coach Milt and just kind of like, live out there in Chapel Hill in for what I thought was just going to be like a little interim, training camp before I kind of figured out what my next move was going to be. I kind of figured like, oh, I'll just pop over there and like, you know, stay out there for a little bit and, you know, get to use some facilities out at UNC and kind of do a little winter training camp just so I could have some structure while I kind of figured out my next move, like right after I finished school. And then I got out there and I just loved it. And I thought that like the training, you know, out here in Chapel Hill and like the greater Triangle area between like Umstead Park and American Tobacco Trail, like it provides just like some of the best running spots I've ever seen. And like, I also just realized like the enthusiasm that Coach Milt had for trying to kind of continue to get me ready for the next level was just like something that I really valued. And I'm an athlete that really likes to be coached and to have a coach that likes to really put energy into the day-to-day stuff. And Coach Sorensen, who was my assistant coach at Stanford for my senior year and my fifth year, is also out here. And he's like another guy that's just like a great resource for me. And, you know, just has like put a lot of energy into my development, like throughout college, but then also, you know, in my professional interests and everything. And the more I was out here, the more I kind of realized like, I want to be in a place where I feel like I'm the most supported, even if it means that I'm not going to be making money right away, because I'm not doing this just to like be a pro for a little bit and get a little, you know, pro stipend and, you know, just kind of live somewhere and make Instagram posts. Like, I'm doing this because I really want to, like, I want to see how good I can be. And I want to try to go compete for world championship and Olympic teams. And like, I want to really have a career and, you know, do it all the way from, you know, steeplechase to 5K to run it on the roads and, you know, just kind of discover what my potential is and, kind of continue to chase that feeling that I had last track season and, you know, see myself as a guy who can, you know, go compete with the best of them at any level. And I just kind of realized like, yeah, there are some great groups out there, you know, between Bowerman or OTC or whatever that have some of the, you know, the best guys in the country. And obviously when I get to that level, I would love to, you know, be able to go join one of those groups and train with them. But in the meantime, like I felt like I was exactly where I needed to be. And that as long as I just continue to have that enthusiasm to get out of bed and train every day and be loving it, wherever I am, that like, you know, the sponsorships and all that stuff will come. And so, you know, we have plans that are still in the works with Tom and Alistair for how I'm going to be able to support myself. But I'm not really worried about that as much right now. It's just like, you know, making sure that I have the right training environment for me to try to keep getting better. And over the last, you know, several months, I feel like I've just like kind of gotten into a really nice rhythm behind the scenes with, you know, no races and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I ended up here. And that's like, I'm still here now. And I kind of don't really plan to leave anytime soon. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good place to be. And I'm glad that you're settled and you're finding your groove, because obviously there's no races going on right now. There's not a lot of money right now going on in the running scene, I feel like. So just being able to train and feel confident in your training and getting better every day, I feel like that's really the most ideal situation that you could be right now. So that's good to hear. And I'm sure everyone listening is proud of you for making that decision and is excited to see what you're going to do in the future.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and definitely shout out to mom and dad for not freaking out that their son graduated from a private school and decided to put his degree aside and go run for no money.
well, the degree will always be there.
Yeah, exactly. The degree is always there. I know that, you know, someday I'm not going to be able to run anymore and I will have to work like the rest of the folk in America. But for now, while I still have my youth and my enthusiasm for the sport, I'd rather just go all in on it. So I really didn't have any interest at like getting a side job and running on the side. Like I really wanted to go all in regardless. And, you know, I still have, you know, a lot of optimism that we're going to be able to have like a long-term contract worked out once, you know, money is available again, and that like there will be a place for me in the professional running world. And I don't, I'm not worried about that, but I, you know, for right now, like all that is really important is just that, like, I am in a situation where I like what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with where I am and I'm happy with how training is going and everything. And, yeah, I definitely have no regrets there. So it's, yeah, it's been awesome so far.
Awesome to hear. Well, to wrap up this episode, do you have like a life motto that you live by? I feel like you're one of those people that has like a quote printed on their wall or something that you look at every day.
What if I just like hit you with like a Steve Prefontaine quote or something right now?
Oh, give it to me. Hit it with me, Steven.
No, I don't know. I think that like there are several different like things that I think about. Like, I mean, I feel like one of the things, like my mantra last track season when I was trying to like figure out how to actually like pass that last little barrier to win a race was like, you can't beat someone without passing them. And like, you can't be in a race without taking the lead. And like, it sounds like such an obvious thing, but like, if you don't actually like act on it, like if you don't actually put yourself there physically, like it won't happen. That was like a little thing that I think about, but I guess like in general, that just kind of like goes to the greater point of just like, trust yourself and like, you know, have confidence that what you're doing is exactly what you need to be doing. And, you know, like put faith in your own process. That's not really a very good mantra. That's not something you would put on a card, I guess, but,
No, it's good. It's like putting yourself in the position to actually like succeed.
Yeah, that was, yeah. It's just like little things like that are feel like were things that guided me. I feel like the more, simple and, just kind of like sentient points I could make, the better it was. I didn't really feel like something super abstract was something that worked for me, but just like having like just like little altruisms like that are things that I don't know, I think like kind of inspire me when I think about like kind of what's helped me the most over the last several years. But but ultimately, yeah, it comes down to just like trusting yourself, betting on yourself, and like believing that you're doing exactly what you need to be doing.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast, Steven. Where can people follow you if you want to be followed?
Oh my gosh, this is the big moment.
This is your plug, Steven. Go for it.
Here we go. I'm on Instagram at Steven C. Fahy. That's Steven with a V, C-F-A-H-Y. Twitter with the same handle, at Steven C. Fahy. And you can email me at stevencfahy@gmail.com. Or other inquiries.
Business inquiries.
You can follow me on Strava too. I'm on Strava now. I love Strava. It's super fun. I don't post a lot of my big workouts, but I love posting my Wednesday runs, Run Slow Wednesday. It's a new trend I'm coming up with.
Oh, I have seen that on Instagram.
Yeah, it's my post-workout, nice chill Wednesday run, which has become an important part of my training and routine. But yeah, no, loving Strava so far. It's really fun. I hope that they can give me the little pro badge. they have not given me that yet, but it's fine. I haven't raced.
You just got to keep grinding, Steven. Keep grinding on the Strava.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to keep putting in solid works, logging some solid runs, and hopefully I'll get recognized there. But yeah, Strava, Instagram, Twitter, I'm on it all. So go find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Good luck in your future endeavors. And I'm sure we will be hearing from you soon on your Instagram and your Strava and your Twitter.
Thanks, Emma. Pleasure to be on the podcast. My first podcast ever.
Wow, I'm honored. Can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
All right, guys. This has been Steven Fahy, Stanford University class of 2019, La Costa Canyon class of 2014, go Mavs, and peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew with my boy Steven. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, it would mean so much to me if you went and rated and reviewed the podcast. It helps me out a lot. Feel free to follow this podcast on Instagram. It's just at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod for updates and inspiration from our guests. And I will see you guys next week. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.